Welcome to Lord Johnlander, the Outlander podcast for Lord John fans, where we talk all things Outlander, but especially about Jamie and his Sassenach.
And sometimes we talk about Claire, too.
We can't promise you much, but for the next half hour-ish, we can promise chaos and to make you question whatever life choices led you to listen to us. Before we get into it, this is your one and only warning that show and book spoilers are lurking around every corner.
We're even going to spoil crap that never happened.
Hello, welcome to Lord Johnlander. Welcome to the season one finale of Lord Johnlander. We're your hosts. I'm Mistress Pandora. You can call me Pan.
And I'm Beth.
We have a lot of fun planned. So we put out a survey over the last, well, by the time you guys hear this, it'll have been like 2 weeks ago. But we got some great responses. So excited. But Beth, you really built like this great framework. Did you want to walk through anything that they should expect? I feel good about not having any content warnings other than bullshit alert.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is just like very planned, but also very not planned. So like we've got a structure, we've got an order that we're going to go in. But we're also going to be, so we're going to answer some questions that the listeners sent in, and we're going to play some games. So, you know, just some fun games. And for the games, we've got like a randomizer built that Pan built that has all the names of everybody, including minor characters in the first season, plus like everybody in the Lord John books. So we're going to use those randomizers to come up with like weird pairings and groupings and use those to play the games. So I don't know if we'll actually be as funny to everyone else as we are to each other, but I mean, so far I think that's worked out. So
but we're going to be having fun. And honestly, that's kind of the whole point of this podcast.
Yes.
So we're not going to talk about, there's not like a secret episode of the show that you're missing out on. We're not going into season two yet. We'll talk more about season two of the podcast at the end. We're just going to have some fun and end on a much better note than last week. Because last week was, oh my God. But it's behind us now. We're done.
We're done. Yeah. And I mean, this is like a huge celebration for us because when did we start doing this? Like May or something?
April. I remember it was like April. Mm-hmm.
And we were just like, let's do it. And we had no idea what we were doing. We had no plans. We had like, Pan found a couple like websites and software things that we could use to put it together and kind of figured out how to get it posted out to everybody. And we just kind of learned as we went along. So, we were celebrating like that. Like, damn, I just did a whole season of a podcast. Like, what?
We did a substantial podcast. Yes. So, like, I don't think we've really talked too much about how this whole thing came to be. If I had to pick one word to describe the origin of this podcast, it would be spite.
It's true, though.
It would be spite. Because, I mean, we were at the time that we started talking about this, it was like a, we should do our own podcast kind of thing. And it was at a time, I know many of our listeners will remember, it was at a time when there was a lot of push to silence the queer voices in the Outlander fandom. And
yeah,
we got louder.
Yeah, we were just like, look, I'm not going to let them shut me up. So I'm going to make a podcast. It's, you know, kind of like that meme, like, I'll break my own club with whatever it is. I can't even remember what they are. But yeah, we were just like, we're going to do it ourselves and they can't stop us. So yeah, so we just decided to get louder and here we are. And yeah, we've had way more people listening than we ever imagined. We really thought that it would be like us and like our closest friends that listened out of like obligation.
That's the word. That's what we were expecting. That's not what we found, though.
But we've built like a nice, you know, nice audience that's slowly grown over time. And it's really nice because we feel like we're being heard. And then also in turn, that makes other people that are in the same position as us, other people in the queer community, feel heard too.
Yeah. And it gives us an opportunity to wreck fix. And sometimes it's our own, sometimes it's our friends, and sometimes it's people we've never talked to. So it's, that part's really cool that we get to promote work within, you know, work. Blah, 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 blah. I start off like this every week. I can't talk. We get to promote other fan creators, and that's really, really a cool thing that we get to do. And I feel like we've found maybe a wider community or a more diverse community since doing this, just from what I've seen on, you know, social media, reblogs on Tumblr, comments and retweets and stuff on Twitter. So it's really cool. Couldn't have done any of that without our listeners.
And it's interesting too, because I think like we've got a good chunk of our listeners that are on social media and following us. But I think there's also this whole other group of listeners that I don't see them.
We have no idea who you are.
Yeah, we don't know who you are, but you're from like Norway and Germany and Spain and like all these cool places that I would have never thought, you know, like is it Norway still that's our second highest? Yes. Norway and Germany now is a close tie too. Yeah. So, you know, all over the world, we've got the Ukraine added here now. It's just, it's pretty cool. So we'll talk about, like Pam said, we'll talk about season two a little bit later, but we're going to be looking, you know, as we go move forward to trying to involve the audience a little more, and because we've built this like little eclectic community that, you know, we don't know all of you, so we want to.
We would love to reach out to us. Would love to chat. So we've come such a long, long way. Remember the first episode that we recorded that has never aired. We thought we'll do a live rewatch, like a watch along, and that'll keep it structured at an hour. Y'all, that was a horrific mistake.
Oh my God. Will never see the light of day. It was just like, it was so bad. But you know what? It was a really good learning experience. And we both were like, okay, we can do better than that. And we you know, any plans that we had, we scrapped them and kind of came up with a new approach that actually worked.
Yeah. And we've continued to kind of hone it over time. And if you listen, I was re-listening to some episodes in preparation for this one over the last week or two. And the quality of our recording, I feel like, has improved. Our editing has gotten better. Your teaser videos have just continued delight and amaze. Hot Girl Summer remains my favorite.
I've got to do some more of my extras too. I've been so busy. I haven't really had time to do those either, but those are really fun too.
Those are our most popular videos on YouTube.
I know.
Hero, our first copyright claim on YouTube. That one is our most popular video. I don't know if you've noticed.
It might be. It's not on TikTok. I got to see really quick which one. Oops.
The clock app
like, it down. Here we are. We're so professional now. And then I'm like, whoops, I can't work my Instagram. I think our most watched on Instagram or on, sorry, TikTok is the the one with you ruined everything.
Oh my God. I routinely start singing that in my kitchen.
That has 27.5K views.
Oh my God.
I know.
So in case y'all didn't realize, Beth does all of the social media. I do like YouTube and a lot of the Tumblr, but she's much more social media savvy than I am. I've lived under the Tumblr rock for the last several... How long has Tumblr been an app?
I don't know.
Anyway.
So that's our most watched one on here. And I have been neglecting our TikTok a little bit too because life is crazy. But... And because they banned one of our videos, so I got mad. we got guidelined.
The sexy one. You covered it up with cartoon breakfast. I don't know what's the problem.
I know. Like, what more did they need? There was, like, eggs and bacon and shit. Like, come on. Oh boy. But yeah, so, and we've like really, you know, when we say we didn't have anything planned, like we had no plan for how we were going to promote or prepare for episodes or really anything. And we just learned it as we went along. And I think we've both developed some like pretty cool talents. You know, I never did video edits before this podcast, and you'd never edited a podcast before. So, I mean, I don't know if like, you know, they're marketable skills, like, hey, companies, I can make like a funny video if that's like a minute long, but using all copyrighted materials, but you know, it's kind of cool to have accomplished that.
I'm thinking about maybe trying my hand at some podfic.
Ooh, yes. I've seen that that's like what the kids are doing. So
the kids are doing. I don't know if anyone like would be interested in that in our fandom, but yeah, it could be.
Yeah,
fun.
I haven't seen any, I don't think, in the Outlander. I've seen it in the Red, White, and Royal Blue fandom and the 911 Lone Star fandom. But yeah, I've never seen it. And I don't go into a lot of different fandoms, so who knows?
I don't go into any, really. I've seen a couple, because I was doing some research. There's a few that are quite old, I think. And then Levy Squeaks recorded one of mine for me.
Nice.
One of my fics, recorded it as a podfic.
Now, is the podfic, cool. Are you like just reading the fic? Or are you like acting the parts?
Some, it depends. So some people kind of dramatize it. Some people are just kind of like an audiobook. Some people will do the production of an audio, like an audiobook with like voices and accents and stuff. I'm not that talented. If I tried to do Jamie Fraser's voice, I would offend an entire nation, and I'm not about that life. But I could read somebody a story without them actually looking at me, because inevitably it's smutty.
I really like reading out loud, and I like, you know, like when I read to my kids and stuff, I would like do voices, and I really enjoy it. I used to do a little acting when I was younger, but I would be the worst audiobook reader ever. Can you imagine like turning on an audiobook and it's like, it's like 30 hours of this voice. Like, just no.
Shall we look at some of the questions that we got from our listeners?
Sure. So the first question is, can you share more about yourselves? No personal info, obviously, but I'd love to know more about you and how, when you got into Outlander, or any fun facts. So I'll let you go first, Pam, because I didn't, I read all of these, but I didn't think of any answers for this.
Okay. Well, if you can't tell by my accent, I'm from the South, the American South. How I got into Outlander is kind of an interesting, it's not all that interesting. Anyway, Outlander fandom for me, though, really took off in March of 2020 when we all went home to telework and never went back. And I had made a few friends on like Tumblr, a couple other writers, and we started almost kind of like a miniature little support group where we would just, you know, we'd chat Outlander, we'd use it as escapism, whatever. Before I came to the Outlander fandom, I was in the Supernatural fandom, and that's ended in heartbreak. Yeah, how about you?
So I started a little bit earlier than the pandemic, which is, I know, is when a lot of people started, but I get really into, I just love historical fiction, and I always like use historical fiction to like fall down a complete hyper-focused rabbit hole of like the actual history and stuff. So one of my biggest obsessions has always been basically like the English monarchy from like about the Hundred Years' War into like to like the end of the Tudors. So anyway, that's just background. So I had gone out to dinner with some friends in October of 2019, and my one friend, she's kind of into some of that stuff too. And we got talking about like some books we were reading. And then she was like, oh my God, you have to watch the show Outlander. I had never heard of it. So she kind of gave me a description of it. You know, she's like, there's time travel and they're in Scotland in the past. And she's got some husband in the future and whatever. She's like, I know that's kind of vague, but like, I know you'll love it. And I was like, okay. So I did give it a try. And actually, I think just I wasn't paying attention. Maybe I wasn't in the headspace or whatever for it, because I didn't make it through the first episode the first time. And I was like, oh, that was kind of a stinker. But then for some
reason, I didn't either, come to think of it.
Yeah. And then for some, I think the first half is like, I don't know, it's a little slow. But then for some reason, I think in like January of 2020, I was like, didn't have anything to watch. And I think all my shows were on, you know, winter hiatus or whatever. And I was like, all right, I'm going to try it again. And I got hooked. And I remember just like only watching like a few episodes. And then my husband was like, what are you watching? And I'm like, Outlander. And I know I've only watched a few episodes, but I think this is my new favorite show. And then I was just hooked, and I watched it so fast. Like, I was watching it with every waking hour that I had where I wasn't working. And when I got to the end of season two, I remember it was like really late. It was like 1 a.m. or something. But I was like, oh my God, you know, she said, I have to go back. Is she going to go back? So the next day I went to work. I considered calling out sick, but I didn't, because I had a very, very stressful job at the time. I went to work and then I rushed home. Like, I left a little early and I rushed home, and I watched all the episodes up through A. Malcolm in one evening. Because I just couldn't wait to see what happened. Did she go back? Yeah, it was like really crazy. I just got really in that weird space for a little while. But then, you know, the pandemic happened, and season five was still on. And I was like, you know, I'm going to go on Twitter, see if there's like other Outlander people, whatever. And then everybody else got sent home from work. I worked at a big hospital system, so I was in work more during COVID. And It was very stressful. I'm not a nurse or anything like that, but so I don't want anyone to be like, oh, she's an angel. No, but so I was at work more and it was so stressful. And I also started to use it for like escapism. And I read all the books. I read the books in like 6 weeks.
Jesus.
And then I was so hungry for content, I started like looking up fanfic. I'd never read any fanfic before this.
Really?
No. Oh. No. And the only other fandoms I'd been in before were like musician type fandoms and stuff. Like I'd never been in like a TV show fandom.
Oh.
Or like one that would, you know, produces content.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So I started reading the fic and I was on Twitter. And then I hadn't written in like any fiction in almost 20 years. Like I used to write when I was in college and I did a lot of technical writing for my job, but I hadn't written fiction. And I was like reading the fan fiction. I liked it. And I was like, you know, I think I could do that too. So I did. So anyway, yeah, that was long, but yeah, that's how I got into it.
So I could back my answer up a little bit now. I feel like we're kind of combining a couple of the questions because one of them is, how did you get sucked into this fandom? The short answer to how I actually got sucked into the fandom was Levy. Levy and I are friends in real life. Like we've been best friends for 20 something years since we were in the Star Wars fandom together.
Nice.
But it was like I was in the Supernatural fandom, kind of sort of active for a while. I was writing fic. It wasn't all that great, but I was writing fic. I was learning. And then I stopped writing it for like 18 months. And in the middle of that, it was like spring of 2019, something like that. Levy's like, you need to try Outlander. Like, you're going to like it because it's, you know, it's time travel and there's like eye candy and stuff. You'll enjoy it. So I went through everything that was on Netflix. And then I think it was in the middle of like season two, I started listening to the audiobooks because I had a hella long commute to work, like an hour on a good day each way.
Ugh.
So I was spending 2-3 hours a day in the car devouring these audiobooks. By the way, Davina Porter, the best narrator I've ever heard. She's amazing.
I know. And I'm so sad that she's like, if we ever get book 10, like she's like officially retired. So it'll have to be someone else.
Yeah. But yeah, so I devoured all of the books until I was ahead of the series and ahead of where I was like in the series. Like, because I finished up the books on the hiatus between season 4 and season 5. And I was on book 8 and I was like on the phone with Levy. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself because I'm almost done with this book. And he goes, you know, there's a Lord John spinoff series. I went, hello, sign me up, baby. Here we are. And listened to all of them and didn't write a word of fic because I was like, I had given up writing. I thought I was done. I was never going to write again. Until I finished Brotherhood of the Blade, I'm like, oh, I gotta fix this.
She hadn't even gotten to the Scottish prisoner yet.
No, I saved it. I was saving it so I had something to look forward to. But also that was about the time, like I think I had bought the audiobook, but I stopped having a commute every day by the time I got through Brotherhood of the Blade, so... And then I was also homeschooling my child all of a sudden while working full time from home. And that was going really well because my son was in kindergarten.
Oh, God.
Outlander kept me, I'm not going to say sane because that's not the right word for what the last 2 years of my life has been. It's kept me above ground. I'll go with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. Well, that was part of how I read the books so fast is because I had a commute at the time,
yeah,
too. And it wasn't that long, but it was like a good half hour, 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. So I would listen to the books while I was driving. I would listen to the books while I was working. I even read them a little bit sometimes on boring meetings that I was invited to, but like really didn't need to be there.
I support you.
I just devoured them, but yeah.
Here we are. So I like this question. This is a good segue question. What is it about Outlander versus any other family saga that inspires such passion, enthusiasm, and loyalty among its dedicated fans like yourselves? The rest of the question is, what unique qualities does it bring to the table that you find so powerful and irresistible?
I think for me, it's that, and I know I criticize Diana all the time, but the woman can write a character. And she can do dialogue really, really well. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's something about the realness of the characters. And, you know, especially in the books, like Jamie and Claire have some really good banter in the books, right? Like, it just feels so real. And it feels like something like, you know, I might be bantering about with my husband, you know, like it's just the characters are so real. And I don't know, something about it just gets down to like a very human level for me. I think that's a lot of it.
That's probably a way better answer than I'm going to come up with. The listener who sent us this question chose not to sign it, which is completely, completely fine. I really appreciate the question. I am loving the specificity here. Fans like yourselves. I'm just here to fix things and gay up the place a little bit. Like that's what I'm here for. It's the unique qualities that I find so powerful and irresistible. It's Lord John. Like I came for hunky Jamie. I've stayed for Lord John. I continue to stick around for Stefan von Nomsen and all of the little side characters. Including the ones we make up, especially the ones we make up because they don't exist anywhere else. But yeah, you're right. It's the characters. Diana makes a good character.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because I was really drawn in by the love story between Jamie and Claire. And not, like I said before, not just the, like, you know, sweeping nature of it all, but, like, just the very realness between them. And then I'm someone who gets bored very easily. Like I am like hyper focused and then move on. And when I started looking more closely at the other characters, especially John, it was like this whole new world again, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like I haven't gotten bored yet because there's so many good characters, and you can come for the Jamie Claire show or for the Jamie show or for just the Claire show. But then if you're someone like me who just tends to lose interest in things, there's so much more, you know, there's so much more under the surface.
Yeah. It's like Lord John, every time you keep scratching and it keeps getting better and better. You keep poking it and it keeps getting better and better.
So that kind of answered like the first three questions, right?
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you this one because you made a note that you have a theory and I got none. So I want to hear some more theories about how the in-universe magic works, what logic it follows or doesn't, etc. My theory is ain't no logic.
So this is more of like a headcanon than actually a theory. But I became like really fascinated by this like blue healing light. So I kind of came up with this idea, and we know that like Claire looks very young for her age, and not just because of the show, right? Like they say in the books, like she looks young. Some of it, of course, is like her just good nutrition, you know, spending a significant amount of her life in the in the 20th century. But Jamie also, like, he ages, but he's always described still as being very handsome, and he doesn't seem to, like, even though he gets near death several times because he's an idiot, he doesn't really seem to get sick very often, even as they're getting older. And I just have this headcanon or theory, whatever you want to call it, that, like, not only can that, like, blue light heal, but it's also, like, a fountain of youth for them. Mm-hmm. So, and I thought about writing a fic about it once, but it never really took off. But it's like, I feel like, you know, they're like, and I also feel like that it's something like between them that makes it like pass through to Jamie, and I don't know. So this is a very loose theory. Even in the show, it's kind of interesting because I feel like, and I don't think they did this on purpose, but I feel like Claire looks older in like the 50s and 60s than she does after she goes back. Because there's just something about being with Jamie too that like influences her energy, and like maybe it's the whole like red Jamie, you know, and then her blue light. I don't know. But that's just sort of a theory that bounces around in my head. Will they live forever? I haven't decided yet. But I do think they're going to get very old together.
Good theory. I haven't thought about that.
Other than that, though, I don't know. Like, the in-universe magic. And I feel like there probably is something in Diana's head that she has bouncing around in there about how this is all connected. But, you know, it feels like the time traveling is connected with the blue light, and, you know, it's all sort of interwoven somehow. But we need to know more about Raymond and that doctor that does the healing and all of that.
Yeah.
I think in the Comte.
Comte Saint-Germain. I think that the basic premise of the rules of magic about like the standing stones, that is emphasized in the book as being at least based on like a Celtic pagan tradition.
Yeah.
The stones follow the wheel of the year kind of thing. Which makes it really interesting when, like, how in the world? Okay, let's talk. Okay, season one. What are the fucking odds that every time Claire happens to be on Cregna Dune, the stones are open?
Right? Well, I mean, I think the first time it was just coincidence, right? Because they just happened to be there down during Samhain, although it's a different time of year in the book. And then I think there's like, it's kind of implying that the druids or whatever that were doing the dancing, like that they somehow opened the portal.
But I don't think that they were opening the portal. I think they were just observing, the holiday, because Samhain is the pagan new year, more or less.
Yeah. And
Beltane is also a very important holiday, which is what it was in the book. So, which is Jamie's birthday. Anyway, yeah.
Now, but right after Culloden, is there any, like, does that make any sense? I didn't think so. Okay. Sometimes there's logic, sometimes there isn't. Because I don't think they really mentioned the whole thing about the gemstones until like the second or third book, right? I don't think it was a thing.
It was like, yeah, it was when we meet Galus in the 20th century.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So we don't know.
We have no idea. K300 on Tumblr asks, what is your favorite John/Jamie moment in any of the books or the show?
For me, I think it's now their breakup scene in season 6. That was just
a knife through my heart.
Heart-wrenching. Ugh. That was a good ad. Like, that happened over letters in the book. And this is a time where I think putting it out on the screen and them having a conversation was better. It was, and it's not, certainly not my favorite, like, yay, joyous moment, but I just think it was like such a good moment. Like, it was meaty, you know?
My God, so much. And the chemistry that Sam and David have on screen is just delicious. Ugh. I eat it that is. Shit up. I could, like, I love Katrina Balfe, but man, we could do just a John Jamie spinoff with those two, and I'd be happy to watch them for an hour.
It would be awesome. Maybe they could do a season of The Scottish Prisoner.
Fix the ending.
Anyway, so what future do you see for our favorite? I'm sorry. Did you have your own moment? I think I skipped ahead.
It's okay. So I think my favorite, I have so many. I think my favorite in the show is Lieutenant Leonard. That's everyone's
also
favorite.
Also a good one.
Because, like, Jamie is just like, oh, so I'm impressed and horny right now. That's the face. in the books, though, I'm torn, and they're both from The Scottish Prisoner. It's either, and I'm leaning towards this one, it's probably the end after the duel. When Jamie is so worried about John. That's probably my favorite. A close second is not even, they don't realize, well, the only one who realizes that they're in the scene together is John, as he's walking down the hall and he hears Jamie masturbating and then falls down the stairs. That's comedy. If that mental image does not summarize the entire tone of that fucking book, that's it.
And we've talked about this before. I don't know if we've actually talked about it on the podcast, but like, if you read that book and how it starts and all of the buildup, like, any reasonable reader would expect that book to end in sex.
Oh, why?
Between Jamie and John.
Expected to have sex in the middle, too. Honestly. Like,
if you knew nothing about these characters and just went in blind, like, you would be so disappointed at the end. Like, what happened to the sex?
wait, no, he's just going back to Hellwater?
You're like going back looking if there was a fade to black somewhere. Like, what did I miss?
Was it with the frogs? What? Yeah. Goddamn book.
And I do have to say, one of my, like, funnier Jamie John moments in the books is, and I do hope we get this in the show if we get a season 8, because I love how big a baby is Jamie is when he's mad and being petty. So when Claire has been injured and John shows up to see her like a couple days after, and he keeps calling Claire, my dear, and Jamie keeps getting more and more pissed every time he calls her my dear. And then, you know, John is doing it just to, like, taunt him. I love that. Love it.
They are such catty bitches.
I know. So funny. Oh. Okay. So what future do you see for our favorite lord in Outlander? What end would you like for him?
Those are two completely different questions with completely different answers. So I unfortunately don't think it's going to end well for John. I'm maybe cynical. I've been burned a lot. Like I said, I came from the Supernatural fandom. Still not over it. The end I would like for John, personally, like, I don't even really care who it is, I have discovered the hard way that you don't want your OTP to go canon. Trust me.
Yeah.
You don't. It would just, it wouldn't work. But somebody that John can be himself with, somebody that John can love, does love. And honestly, if I had to pick an end game for Lord John, it would be Stefan von Nomsen.
Yes. Just
either in Virginia or in Hanover or even London. Like, I don't care. Pick a place. Or France. Fuck it. Run off. I don't care. I feel like they would be so good together. And to everybody else, it would just like, it would just look like two widowers, right?
Right. I love that.
How about you?
I think we talked about that. I have the same wish for him. Like, I think you and I talked about that, how he should be, Stefan should be endgame and for John. And I think it would be just, that'd be really good for him. I tend to be more optimistic. I hope that, you know, John is able to survive, you know, especially like the situation he was in at the end of book 9, and just live a peaceful life. I mean, goddamn, the guy already like retired from the army once now, and his brother sucked him back in. Now he's, you know, and I just like to see him very similar, like nice little yeah. place somewhere with his man and just being happy.
He needs a large size break and an uncomplicated hug.
Yes.
Like, that's it.
And a massive sausage.
Yes.
Oh, God. This just made me think of, like, that fic we were, like, vibing that one time about Jamie and Stefan, like, meeting, I'm sorry, Jamie and William running into Stefan while they're trying to rescue John.
Oh, yeah.
And then just, like, all the shenanigans that would occur because of all that. And just, like, Stefan making, like, a lot of, like, sausage innuendo jokes to Jamie.
Try to work him into it.
Anyways.
This comes from Salty Bench Day or Miss Holly Mack on Twitter. If there was a scene from season/book 1 of Outlander that you could completely rewrite and make canon, what do you think you would change? What moment made you decide you absolutely needed to write Outlander fanfiction?
This is also two questions with completely different answers. There are a lot of scenes I would rewrite in all of the seasons and books of Outlander. So I don't really feel I can give one answer, right? But the moment that made me decide I needed to write fan fiction is when I realized that William was one of my favorite characters and I was so endeared to him, and like nobody liked him else in the fandom liked him. And I had this like vision of Claire somehow there being like a different timeline and Claire seeing William for the first time in like silhouette and thinking it was Jamie, and then the sun would go down behind the horizon and she would realize it's not Jamie, but obviously it was like his son or something. And that idea was stuck in my head. And that's how I ended up writing Prodigal Son.
I just read that part in chapter 1 today.
I know. just based off that one image that then was a very similar image to something when Brianna saw William for the first time in Beast, but we're not going to talk about that. yeah, but that was my first inspiration for writing a fic. And then just really quick, my second fic that I wrote, Blood Sugar, I was listening to the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and I just, again, kind of had this, like, wanted to just had this image of, like, Jamie and Claire meeting at a concert, and just, you know, in, like, the 90s, and just kind of falling head over heels for each other. So that was my second pick.
So the first moment that made me realize I had to write fan fiction was after getting through Brotherhood of the Blade, the fight in the stable that John and Jamie have. I was like, I need to read. It started off with, here's me, who was on the Destiel juggernaut. I need to read. Someone has fixed. I know someone's fixed this. I need to read it. So I get on AO3. Guess what? No one fixed it. So I wrote the fray and I fixed it. And I'm like, that's it. Just the one. I'm done. It's out of my system. It's over and done with. And then I'm like, well, wait a second. William also got to me. It's kind of funny. William got to me too. But I was thinking, if Jamie, John, and William were fighting on the same side in the Revolutionary War, the war would be over in 6 months. And that's how the Gods of War series came out.
Nice.
Can you recommend a favorite fic that you think needs more love? This comes from Ness, Geek in the Pink, who has co-hosted a few times.
I really should have come up with an answer for this. But what I, the one thing that I did think of, and it might just not get talked about a lot because it's an older fic, but there is a fic, there's a modern AU about William kind of just like showing up at Jamie's doorstep, and it's called maybe like Blood of My Blood or something like that. I don't know. I'd have to look it up. I wish I should have prepared for this one and I didn't. Remembrance of Blood. Blood.
We should probably link all of these fics that we are mentioning.
Yeah.
It'd be a long fic rec. So I actually did this one. I did go in and try to think what would be, if I could only pick one to really promote for this question, Ewig Mine, which is German for Evermine. It is written by Becca FKH. It is John Stefan. It's actually the second part in a series. It's like 86,000 words. It's just, Becca's a fantastic writer. The way she uses setting as a character in the story is just really amazing. The way she has built this entire lore around Stefan is truly remarkable. And like, some of it, I honestly cannot tell where canon ends and her world begins. And I cannot recommend this fic enough, this series enough. It is so very, very good.
I will definitely have to check that out.
Heavy. It's kind of heavy on the angst, but, and there's like, it's so very in character, like to the point where you're like, John, I'm going to hit you. There were times I wanted to shake him. Right. But it's just, it's a great read. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of really awesome cameos that, like, you know, Tom appears, Tom Bird appears. And it's just, it's a universe where John has learned or is learning how to let Jamie go and find his own happiness. So yeah, Ewig Mine.
I definitely will have to check that out.
Yeah.
And I just remembered that the one that I mentioned, the author took it down. So sorry, nobody else can read it.
This is a question we get a lot. I'm still confused about some of the references you make and whether they are from DG's writing or from fan fiction. Could you tell us where to read more about Pierre and Daria? They're OCs.
they're headcanon. They're our OCs. And we are supposed to be writing a Daria fic at some point. So you should be able to read about Daria sometime in the future on AO3 somewhere from us.
I actually wrote Daria into Take a Sad Song.
Oh, right.
So that's, I was actually working on that before we started like vibing the podcast. And so she was just going to be kind of a side character. And then we started talking about her on the podcast. And I'm like, yeah, okay. She's going to be Claire's steady girlfriend and she's going to be part of, she's going to actually be part of that universe in a larger way. So that's the only thing I've written about Daria so far. But yeah, we need to, we should probably actually write down some notes on that.
I'm like I think a month ago, I was like, we should really start a doc for that. And you're like, yeah.
Yeah, we should.
And then like, we just did.
Executive dysfunction sometimes. It's just so real.
It's just not good. Oh, God.
I have written about Pierre, though.
Yes. Oh, I love that one.
That's Trespass Sweetly Urged. It's a one shot, but he's come up a couple of times. Actually, I came up with the idea for Pierre as a kind of a throwaway line in one of my Gods of War fics that I got so much hate mail for. I just kind of mentioned a young man in Paris that Jamie kissed, and then he kept popping up a couple of times. And the next thing I know, he's got a name and blah, blah, blah. And then he's got his own little story. So that's where Pierre came from. He's Jewish. Those are our original characters. They're not not canon, but they're not in any books.
I just remembered, actually, that I did have a fic in mind for that. And then I must have forgot about it. So for the one fic that doesn't get a lot of love or whatever. So... What? Jen, JRC10, she writes a ton of great stories. And most of them are like really, really well read. But she wrote this like small little series. And there's just like two different stories in it. But they're basically like a story within a story. So Jamie is like telling Claire a story.
Oh. And
the one called A Thousand Ships, A Tale by James Fraser, is the funniest freaking thing ever. And the plot twist at the end is just amazing. And for some reason it did, you know, I mean, people read it and stuff, but like, not like they read her other things. And I just, it, that really needs more love because it's so clever and just so hilarious. And that's all I'm going to say.
Well, speaking of Jen, she asks, could you both describe the visual of your boner scale? Do you use imaginary eggplant emojis? John's penis? Jamie's with the unruly red pubes? Hell, this is a long question. Hell water washed or Ardsmuir nasty? Please help your audience with this visual. Will you consider an audience equivalent to a boner scale for the level of arousal our Lord inspires in us come season 3? I don't think I could have come up with anything that would create more of a graphic visual than this. So... I love it.
I mean, honestly, so it's funny because, she asked about visual, and I am one of those people that can't see images in my mind. So I don't have a visual. I have a concept of a visual, which would just be like a bunch of penises in a row. but like, I don't have any like specific image that I like see. But what's interesting is that we went for many episodes and we were both thinking like a little differently about the boner scale, right? Yeah. So I was thinking of the boner scale from Jamie's perspective, like how good was it probably for him? And you were thinking of it more like, well, you you explain how you were kind of thinking about it.
I was thinking more of it as, I was thinking of it more as like, as the, oh my God, I almost opened my mouth just now and said, as the consumer of the boner, which is not what I meant. I think of it less as from Jamie's perspective and more of it, more of like a third person omniscient narrator perspective.
Entertain me, boner.
Entertain me, boner. What does God think of this boner?
God loves all boners, okay?
God loves all boners.
All boners. Especially a good Catholic lad like Jamie.
Oh, God. So really, I mean, I'm just using a Likert scale because I don't really have like a mental image either. But so for me, it's more of a, I'm using a Likert scale 1 through 5 and rating it on several different axes kind of thing. So I actually ran some analytics on our boner scale ratings and it came up a couple of times in the podcast, but you rate Jamie's boners higher, which I think, given the fact that we're thinking of it from two different perspectives, Jamie's more impressed with himself than the third person narrator. We only had a couple of instances where we actually agreed.
Yeah. Yeah. I see that. Episodes 103 and 104, it looks like we were in agreement. Or no, the two yeah. in episode 103, we were in agreement. We have charts, yeah, we like have charts. Visuals. So we'll post these. Media. Yeah, yeah. We have line graphs and stuff. We have
a line graph and a bar graph. I have to data nerd for a second and say, yes, I understand that average in this case, mean was not the most appropriate measure of central tendency for a 5-point Likert scale, but it's so much more fun than median. And I'm not publishing this in a journal. So it's not going into like the Psychiatry of American Penises. If that's a journal, God, someone send me a link. So yeah.
Oh God. If we're gonna have to do like, well, like Jen said, will we get a John Boner scale in season 3? And I think we could probably make that happen. But we're gonna have to get like a different shtick, I think, for season 2. So
we'll come up with a shtick.
Let's come up with something else we can measure in season 2.
Yeah.
So that being said, I think it's time for a game.
Shall we play a game?
We shall play a game.
The game is a variation of Fuck, Marry, Kill. So I'm going to use a randomizer and I'm going to pull 3 characters at random. But we are doing this with a twist. So it's season 1 kind of inspired. So instead of fuck, marry, kill, it's grind their corn, marriage of convenience, or kill it with fire.
I recommended burned at the stake, but I think Pan thought that would be a little insensitive.
So there we are. I'm going to roll a little dice. And then, So to be clear, this randomizer is pulling season 1/book 1 characters, but also Lord John series characters. So anything kind of goes.
And we have to choose, right?
And we have to, holy shit, I just dropped it. All right. Beth, your characters are Geneva Dunsany.
Oh.
Jack Randall. Pierre.
Okay. Oh, shit. That's awful. I thought the characters had to be... Oh, okay, so Geneva kind of counts as a Lord John character.
In the Lord John
okay.
books. Yep.
God
She's
damn
in
it.
On a technicality.
Okay. Let's see. I am going to grind Pierre's corn.
Okay.
Or let him grind my corn. I'm not really sure how this metaphor actually works.
We'll have a conversation about it. You know what? It's whatever you guys come up with.
I'm going to take the marriage of convenience to Jack Randall because I know he'll be dead, you know, by the end of season two. And he doesn't have, you know, a penis, but, you know, by halfway through season two. So
smart call there, Mary Hawkins.
You know, so I'll tolerate, he'll be off to war like the entire time. So I'm going to just tolerate just like being married to him, and then he's going to die and it'll all be fine. And then I'm going to kill Geneva Dunsany with fire.
Fair. I'd grind Pierre's corn. I would kill Jack Randall with fire. And I would marry Geneva for convenience because her daddy has a lot of money.
Nice. And she will also be dead soon anyways, she, too.
Yeah, so. It'll be fine. It's all,
but
it's
damn,
all
good. What a bitch to deal with her for until then.
Go off somewhere. Send her to Bath. All right. Are you ready for another round?
Yeah.
Your characters are Rabbi McNabb, and you can pick whether that's little boy or Rabbi. I think we should probably...
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Probably ought to go with the one that is all grown up in London. William Ransom or Reginald Wakefield?
That's a tough one too, but not as much in the same way. Oh man. So I'm just going to, we're definitely going with like adult William,
yes,
and adult Rabbi.
Yes.
Well, I'm definitely going to have a marriage of convenience to William Ransom. There's just no question about that. And much like what's her face in the ninth book, I does not have to be only of convenience. Especially now that I've seen that cutie that's playing him on the show.
Oh my God.
I'm
in love.
I'm going to grind grown-up Rabbi's corn. He's, you know, they describe him. I think he's pretty buff. So that'd be kind of a nice, you know, one-night stand. And then I'm just, sorry, Rev, I'm going to have to kill the you with irony. Fire.
The irony. But also same.
Nice. Also same. Nice.
I agree.
You go first on the next one so that I'm not always like seeing them okay. and then you know.
Okay. So I'll go first on this one. The characters are Father Bane, Tom Bird, or Letitia McKenzie.
Right off the bat. Oh, that's not so bad.
That's not so bad. Right off the bat, I'm killing Father Bane with all the fire. I'll grind Letitia's corn, but I'll marry Tom.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Perfect answer. 100%. Who wouldn't want to be married to Tom Bird?
Okay. I totally would. Like,
I mean, he will iron your clothes. He will mend your clothes. He will always make sure you are well fed. Like, he is a nurturer.
He really is. Like, John really doesn't need to be married because he's got Tom. Like, Tom is kind of
He's got a wife.
He's got a Tom wife. Absolutely. And I mean that in the best way possible.
Tom is just, I want somebody to love me the way Tom loves Lord John.
I love it so much.
You just don't get that love very often, you know?
He needs to come back. I need some closure on him.
Like, what was the point of him going away anyway?
I don't know.
Anyway. Want to do one more?
One more. All right.
Okay.
Am I answering first this time?
Yeah, you go first this time again.
Okay. Galus Duncan. Lyra. Old Alec.
Okay.
Kill Galus with fire. Grind Lyra's corn. And I guess marriage of convenience to old Alec. How much longer does he have left? I mean, honestly.
Yeah, honestly. This is, like, not a fun one for me. Well, I'm definitely not going to marry Leary or Galus. So that's one set of eliminations down.
One's a black widow. I wouldn't.
So I guess I'm going to marry old Alec by default. He seems like a nice guy, and so what if he smells like horses?
Who doesn't in this century?
I know. Come on.
We all do.
Oh, God. The thought. No.
Do it for the boobs, Beth. Do it for the boobs.
Okay. Gotta do it. If it's for the boobs, then I'm going to grind Leary's corn and kill Galus with fire.
There we go.
There we go. Got it. That was a real struggle. That one was the hardest. No, Jack Randall and the other ones. That was the hardest. Anyway.
Geneva, that was great.
All right. So I think now it's time to do some yearbook superlatives.
Yeah. Hey, this is a great list, by the way. I have a question just because I need rules. When are we able to double up? Like, can one person get the same thing or can one person get more than one thing? Or do we want to minimize that or make that not a rule?
That's not a rule. Yeah,
okay. Good. Okay, cool.
Okay. So biggest flirt is the first category.
Are we sticking to season one?
Nah.
Just in general, in the series, in the universe kind of thing? Yeah. Biggest flirt, Harry Quarry.
Let me see if I can come up with a female to be his biggest flirt partner. It doesn't sound right. Damn.
There's not a lot of female characters.
No, there aren't. Oh, Louise.
Louise. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Louise. Absolutely.
All right.
Class clown?
German.
Oh, yeah. Let's see if I can pick a female class clown. I kind of got to go with Lizzie.
Oh, yeah. Although it's like unintentional, but definitely.
It's unintentional, but she's hysterical.
Life of the party.
Life of the party. Benedicta Gray.
Yeah, that's a good one. For a dude, I'm gonna go with I can't remember his name, but the Minister of Finance in Paris. He just was living his best life all the time.
There we go. Although, okay, with an honorable mention to Lord John, because in season four, like, the party don't start till I walk in. Like, that's... But that's the obvious.
It's true.
Best bromance.
Oh, I have a cute one.
Okay.
German and Lord John.
Yes! Yes! That is the best.
It's the cute. It's so cute. I can't even with it. Oh my god.
Yes. You are correct.
They become besties. I love it.
He won't take Granny to bed now that you're here to do it.
That kid steals the show in that entire book. I'm sorry.
I love him so much.
He must be protected at all costs. Okay. Cutest couple that never was.
Jamie Oldian. I mean, you can make a counterpoint.
No, it's fine. Cutest couple that, so I had a couple, you know what? I'm going to go with Claire and Louise.
Okay.
For the female counterpart.
Okay, there we go. All right, I need help on this one. Most likely to be on Catfish. It's italicized, like Catfish is the name of a show or something. I don't know what it is.
It's a show about people who have been catfished.
Oh, so like the most likely to be a victim of catfishing.
Yes.
Okay.
I think that's, well, maybe I should double check. I don't think it's about catfishers. Yeah, so it's definitely about the victims of being catfished.
Okay. I'm inclined to say Lord John. Because he gets caught up in some dumb shit. But I'm not married to that one.
I have, like... The Bonnie Prince is like bouncing around in my head for this one. Like, I feel like if like that dude would definitely get like some woman would be like, I have the keys to London over here. And he'd just like walk right into it.
Yeah.
And Frank kind of did get catfished.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
In the show.
Yeah,
a woman that would get catfished, probably Lizzie. I could see Lizzie getting catfished.
Or Lyra.
She kind of did, in a way, right? Like, didn't the twins not tell her?
No.
I couldn't remember if they ever switched without telling her, but no, you're right. That never happened.
No.
So. I'm going to go with Lizzie. Lizzie. Most likely to be Instagram famous.
Geneva. Geneva Dunsany. Yes.
Absolutely. And for a guy, I'm going to go with Tom Bird.
I was thinking Tom, but I was thinking, like, Tom would be TikTok famous because he would just have all these, like, really soothing, like, sewing videos that are super relatable because he's learning as he goes.
He'd be like, is your lord in a pinch? Need a new button on his jacket? I'm here to show you how.
Waistcoat life hack.
Okay, now I need this. It's like a real series. Best person to share a deserted island with.
Ooh. How hot is this island? Are we talking tropical island?
Does it really matter?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because I'm going to need you to elaborate on that.
So if it's like a tropical deserted island, then I just need someone who's like way better at staying alive than I am, which is essentially anybody who's lived through more than three books in this series. But if it's a not tropical island, if we're talking like in the North Sea or something, I'm going to need a big dude that can keep me warm because I don't do well in the cold. So there's a difference.
See, I don't do well in the heat. So that's why I'm like, you know.
So you need to see someone who's better at staying alive than you are, who can build a shelter. Honestly, Jamie would be the most handy person.
He would be the most handy. He could definitely keep you warm if it was a cold island. And I mean, he's also really funny and smart, right?
Yeah.
So
he'd be entertained.
He'd be good. If I could pick two people, I'd love it to be Jamie and John. Although I'd probably start feeling like a third wheel pretty quickly.
Oh, immediately. I'll be over here.
And I mean, if I had to pick a female character to be stuck on an island with, I mean, both Brianna and Claire have pretty good survival skills.
Yeah.
But I could also see myself letting Claire keep me warm at night before Brianna. So I'm going to go with Claire.
I would go with Brianna because between Brianna, like, so if it's Brianna and Jamie, it's only going to take about a week before we're on an episode of Gilligan's Island. And she's built radios out of coconuts and shit.
That's true. I didn't think of that. Oh, that's a tough one. Very tough one. I'm going to need a few people with me. Most likely to win the lottery and then lose the ticket. Oh God.
I'm thinking, do you have a thought?
So Leary.
Yeah.
Would definitely be the female for that one.
Yeah.
For a guy,
Neil the cunt. Yeah, I can't unsee it. It's Neil.
He'd lose it during some tryst or something.
Something stupid. It'd be hilarious.
I could also see William doing too, though.
He's in a swamp.
He's such a disaster. And like, oh God. Yeah.
Poor kid never had a chance.
No. let's be honest, like John is probably pretty likely to lose it too.
He's more likely to be the one to find it. He'd pick it up and have no idea what it is.
And put it in his pocket and then Tom would be like,
Tom finds it.
Oh my Lord. And then John would be like, but Tom, you're so honest. Why didn't you keep it for yourself? And Tom would be like, I would never do that, my lord. Okay, enough of my bad accents. Most likely to wear flip-flops in the snow.
Jamie. He wears sandals a lot in the books.
That's true.
And like in the cold weather, like he's up in the Lake District in sandals. Like, okay. Jamie.
Brianna probably too.
Yes, like
they're kind of hardcore like that.
The apple does not fall far from the tree. Most likely to break a world record. Galus would probably break the world record for like most crimes committed in a single year.
Most husbands burned alive.
Most prolific black widow in history.
And most husbands died under mysterious circumstances. Let's see. I'm trying to think who else. I think Roger would probably win a record for just like most bad luck.
It'd be something silly.
Too bad there wasn't a category. Too bad there wasn't a category for like most likely to get accidentally hanged.
Oh,
sorry. That is a mood. Okay. Most likely to believe they can fix it themselves.
Believe and then can, or believe and then can't.
Either.
Either. Believe and then can, probably Brianna. Believe and then can't. I'm going to go with Percy.
That's a good one. I was thinking too, just of Jamie, because like,
yes,
I just remember that scene from season 4 when he like goes up on the roof naked to fix the shingle.
He's a DIY dad. Oh my God.
He's such a baby. Like, Claire's like, you can't go out there in just your shirt. So he takes his shirt off and goes out naked. Like, stop being such a baby, Jamie. Okay. Most likely to survive the zombie apocalypse.
Jamie, for sure.
I'm going to say, I feel like Dougal would be a close second, because he would like figure out a way to make a secret alliance with the zombies.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. I'm changing my answer. You're right. Dougal would survive the zombie apocalypse. Galus would too, just because she's ruthless as fuck.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That was fun as hell.
Oh, God. That was fun. All right. So for this next segment, what we asked people to send us in the survey was either their favorite fic trope and or to give us like an opening line of just like a random opening line for a story. And what we're going to do is we're going to use our fun little randomizer, and we're going to just come up with really quick, like off the cuff story ideas or scenarios or whatever, based off of these with the characters that show up on the randomizer. And I was thinking, well, I guess we can just decide how many we want to come up based on the scenario or trope, right?
I mean, we could, yeah, based on the, so we could do, yeah, if it's like clearly like a one person thing, we can just, because I've got it, it's going to pull 1, 2, or 3. Okay. Put it all at the same time. So it's, you okay. Just tell me, pick a number and then read the thing.
Okay, so the first one is their love is requited. They're just idiots. Love that one.
Every Jamie John fic ever.
Right.
I'm not going to hit randomize again, but this is heinous. You want 1, 2, or 3 characters? Well, do you want 2 or 3 God. Characters? Please say 2.
I'll do 2.
Okay. Jack Randall and Letitia McKenzie.
Oh, God. No.
Do we need to re-roll immediately?
You know, we don't know a ton about Letitia. Maybe she's like, you know, in on his secret or his devious plans, and I don't know. And then
Gollum's working the Duke angle and she's working the Randall angle.
Yeah. And then when they're working that, when she's working that angle, they fall in love, but like neither of them like knows that they are in love with each other. So they just, you know,
the pine.
They're requited, but they're idiots. Okay. That one was kind of,
That was awful.
Okay. We might just cut that one.
All right. Miss Holly Mack sent us Deathbed Confessions. Do you want one, two, or three characters?
I think two.
I think I technically should re-roll this one because one of the characters is just the O'Higgins brothers.
Oh.
Although it's paired with Ned, so who's dying and what do they confess? This is hard.
This was just like a cockamamie idea that I thought would be fun, and we'd, I don't know, maybe it won't be.
Right. Okay, I re-rolled so that we're just down to like actually two. I just re-rolled. Okay. This one is Lyra and Percy. I didn't say it was better. I said it was fewer.
Let's see. Oh God, I can't think of anything.
Okay, rant. Here we go. Bullshit alert. Percy is riding through the Highlands and gets thrown from his horse and he hits his head pretty bad. And Lyra happens to find him. He's near her house. And she takes him in, is kind of kind to him, feeds him, tries to nurse him back to health, but it's just to no avail. And he's lying there perishing. And what he confesses is he's been to the future.
Oh. Interesting. I want to pull that thread now. So the next one is didn't know they were dating, which is also Jamie John.
It is the actual end of The Scottish Prisoner. You want two or three? Three doesn't really work. I'm going to tell you right now, three is completely incompatible.
Yeah, let's just do two.
Claire and Father Bane.
So the first time that Claire met Father Bane, he tricked her into like making some like vow to him or something. And the real reason he's so mad is that he thought that Claire had like sworn herself to him. And she didn't know though that they were supposed to be dating. So that's why he got really pissed and, you know, called her out at the witch trial.
Had nothing to do with the blasphemy.
No. The blasphemy was her just, you know, ignoring his calls.
leaving them on red.
You know, I got to pause for not a real pause, just pause from this game. We talked at one point about coming up with like merch. things from the show, and I think like that would be a funny quote for the merch, like the real blasphemy was that she didn't, what I don't even remember what I said now, but anyway, we should look into that at some point.
We should.
But we'd have to go through and pick out some funny quote. Well, we have a list of funny quotes,
yeah,
from making the teaser, so
yeah.
Anyway. Okay, here it goes. It was completely preposterous. This one also comes from Salty Bench Day, aka Miss Holly Mack. It was completely preposterous, inconceivable really, but there he was at the foot of the standing stones with a horrendous buzzing in his ears and an ache in his body as if he'd been torn apart and put back together again all wrong. Sounds like the beginning of Percy's deathbed confession. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Okay. Ned Gowan. and Joseph Trevelyan. I'm sorry, Ned. Ned's so, clearly the one going through time.
Yes. Well, yeah, he's trying to get back to Lam.
Yeah.
Maybe Joseph Trevelyan, was trying to, he found out that they had a cure for syphilis in the future that didn't involve poisoning himself. And
there we go.
So as Ned was, going through the stones, Joseph kind of grabbed onto his coattails and yeah.
But we could just stick with Ned because that would be he's the one who came up in the single character category. We could just stick with Ned. He's trying to get back to Lam, and I like that one a lot better.
You know, in all our talks about Lam, I'm sorry, about Ned being a time traveler, did we ever consider that Lam could be one too?
No, but it would make sense.
It would make total sense because Claire has to have the gene from someone.
Yeah.
So why not have it be the Beecham side? So
could have been him.
Kind of that was kind of a big miss on our parts.
Duh. Hence his love of archaeology.
Hence why he's such a successful archaeologist.
Yeah, he knows where to look. He left clues.
He plants stuff in the future and then goes or in the past and then goes to the future and discovers it. And he makes millions. Millions. Which he then uses to help fund the Jacobite Rebellion. See, that's what I was hoping for with this whole thing, but I guess you can't force these things. They just come organically. Okay.
So this next one is from Kithri on Tumblr. Shh, he whispered. It's your turn now.
Oh, God. I guess too.
This doesn't, I'm going to just say, we can interpret this slash as an ampersand.
Yes, of course.
It does not have to be because it's William Ransom and Hector.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So, William is young and he's with his father, Papa John, and... for some reason, John sees something that reminds him of Hector and he gets really upset and, William just doesn't really understand why, obviously. And then William is, hanging out or whatever. And Hector's ghost comes to him and tells him who he is and how he always wanted to protect John and be there for him. And he knew that John had a really sensitive heart and he always was trying to protect it and stuff. And Willie starts to ask a bunch of questions and he just says, shh, it's your turn now. Mm. To be John's protector and stuff.
That hurts my heart though.
I just had a flash of inspiration though.
Oh, yay. I love that.
All right. Canon divergence. Hector was presumed dead after Culloden. They never found his body. He shows up 20 something years later in Virginia after Isabel has died. And he finds John. And stays with him at the plantation while William is a boy. William's having a meltdown or something, you know, just being a troubled kid. Like they're playing a game or something. And Hector is just being cute with him. And they get to raise William together.
Oh, I love it. Oh my god, that would be like the perfect ending for John.
Okay. Pull yourself together, Beth. So this next one, also pretty fun. This is from Jen, JRC10, Rosie Claire 10, Lord Jen Gray. She's got a lot of aliases. I'm trying my best to be polite, but I'd be more successful if you move the tip of your knife a little to the right.
Oh, Sir George Stanley, Benedicta's third husband, and Jeremy mm-hmm. Foster.
Whoa. I got nothing.
I'll get there. It's halfway there. There's a disagreement in, I don't know, Jamaica. Because what's his face? Sir George was in Jamaica briefly while John was there. Jeremy is there for, I don't know, reasons? Reasons that probably involve Lord John and sexy times. We'll just go with that.
Okay, well, yeah, that's perfect.
Yep. And they're not expecting to meet each other on the hall.
Wait, what? Wait.
They weren't expecting to meet each other.
Oh, okay. Okay, I was like, wait, did I miss something? But I get it now. No, okay, sorry.
However, I do feel like I would be doing Jen a great disservice if I did not point out how wonderfully, like, erotically charged that scene would be.
Mm-hmm.
But not with Sir George.
No. Jeremy Foster. No. Jeremy.
Not the two of them.
Ugh. I think you need to take that and use it for other fic inspiration purposes.
That may make an appearance someday.
Okay. The next one is, and that was, this is also from Jen. Mm-hmm. And that was the second time James Fraser tied me to a tree.
How many characters do you want?
I think one, probably.
Jenny came up.
Who, Jenny?
Jenny.
No. Well, I mean, that's just too easy. Like,
that's too easy. A reroll produced Frank.
Oh.
So there you go.
I mean, I think those are, you know.
Those are all plausible.
Yes. Let's go to the next one.
Modern AU. Okay, so this one from Ness, I'm thinking this might have been two different ones. And I think this was maybe supposed to be one prompt per sentence. I don't know. But at the same time, I don't want to separate them.
So just Ness. Wait. If you just put quotes around the first one.
And then, yes, make the first one. Okay, like.
Sorry, Ness, we're taking a little, liberty with.
In hindsight, this was a terrible idea. So that's now a quote. So that's dialogue. And he came all over his fist.
I like how I assumed that those just went together.
I don't like that one. This randomizer is mean. I don't like it.
We don't have to do a scenario, but just tell me who it came up with.
William and Lady Mumford.
Oh god, okay, no.
Reroll. This one works. I like this one. Gaylis and Stefan von Nomsen. That's the fic. That's it. That's the fic.
That's the fic. That's the whole fic.
It was a terrible idea.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Okay. So.
God bless.
So that didn't go exactly as I planned, but through Pan's amazing editing skills, we'll cobble it together so that it's not just us going, I don't know, for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, get rid of some of the long pauses.
Okay.
Oh. So since we talked about it kind of at the front of the episode, we've passed the 30-minute mark just a tiny bit.
Just a little smidge.
We are going to save. We're going to keep your suggestions for side characters to discuss and kind of keep it in our pocket for later use, maybe another season finale or a special or something. I don't know. A few of these
Christmas special.
Christmas special. Who knows? So we do have them. Thank you. But we're gonna save those just because of time.
Yeah. And we also had some question about like some of our least favorite and least favorite moments of season one. But I think we've talked about them a lot as we've gone through this episode and the other episodes. So just given that we're definitely at the 30-minute mark, I think we'll save that, you know, and we could do that for season two or something.
Yeah.
So before we sign off, we wanted to talk a little bit about our plans for season two, because we actually have plans. So it's not that we want to keep you informed. It's just that we're really proud of ourselves for having a plan.
For facts. This is true.
So we are, given that the holidays are coming up and we're going to try to do this in some sort of way that makes sense. We're actually going to have this is the plan. Now I'm just going to be like caveat this with, you know, we both have families and jobs and things. So this could go completely off the rails, but this is the plan for now. So we're actually going to have a couple weeks off, and then our first episode of season two is going to air on October 7th. And we're going to do the first half of season two, so all the Paris stuff, right up from October 7th every week on Friday until the weekend before Thanksgiving. And then we're going to take a nice, big, fat 6-week break and let everybody get through the holidays. Let us get through the holidays. We'll do a little recording ahead of time, etc. And then on January 6th, we'll be back with the second half of season two, where we'll cover the second half of season two of Outlander, where they're back in Scotland and through the battles and stuff like that.
Yeah. So nice short break, short hiatus between seasons, but we'll make up for it over the holidays.
Yeah. Like I said earlier, you know, we're going to come up with some new regular segments of our episodes. And we're also going to be looking to involve you guys more. So we're going to be seeking feedback, questions. We'd kind of like to have like a mailbag section of each episode where we answer your questions as we go along. So we'll give you more information about that on social media as the second season approaches, which is very quickly.
Yeah. So watch out for that. Make sure that you're following us on social media. Hey, if you're one of those awesome people who listens, but we have never talked to you before, or we don't know that we have talked to you before, let us know. You can find us on Twitter.
And if you don't use social media, if you go to our website, which is lordjohnlander.wordpress.com, there is a contact us form. So, and which is probably what we'll use for like our mailbag feature as well. And yeah, just you know, drop us a line. Let us know who you are, and it'd be great to hear from you.
Absolutely would. Well, we did it.
We did it. Yay!
A whole season of a podcast.
Oh, my goodness.
Who the hell gave us microphones?
Oh, and next season's a little shorter, so it's crazy to think that we have been doing this since April just for season one.
We have. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, God.
But it's been so fun.
It has, and it's been awesome to get to know you better, Pan, through this.
Yes, same.
Thank you so much to our listeners who hang in there with us, even when we get a little crazy, especially when we get a little crazy. I think they seem to like that. Like, the more chaotic, like, the better comments we tend to get. So I don't know how we could possibly top ourselves, but I'm sure we'll try.
We're going to try.
But yeah.
Yeah, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Beth, thank you for a wonderful season. I have loved being your co-host.
It's been awesome learning this too.
Yeah, this has been, I mean, I don't know if these skills are necessarily marketable, but they're fun.
Yeah.
Ness, thank you for joining us. I know that you're probably listening at some point in the future. Thank you for joining us for those several episodes this season.
And I think she's interested in being on for more episodes next season. So that'll be really fun. Yeah. And hopefully we'll get some other guests too. Yeah.
So yeah, big thank you to everyone. You got any closing comment, any more closing comments? Can we put it to bed?
I don't think so. Put it to bed, and then I'm going to go to bed.
That's a good idea. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. And we will talk to you in a couple of weeks. Bye.
Bye.
This podcast is not affiliated with Outlander, Sony, Stars, and definitely 100% not with Diana Gabaldon. All opinions expressed are our own, and we may not even believe them ourselves. In fact, nothing in this podcast should be taken seriously as a general rule. We may not even be real people. Does this podcast even exist?
This podcast is not suitable for children, immature adults, homophobes, anyone who takes fandom too seriously, people who don't understand that the characters aren't real, people with sticks up their ass, people who hate fun, and people who have no sense of humor. Do not try any of these hot takes at home. We are professionals.
The FDA has not approved this podcast for human consumption. Side effects may include nausea, vomiting, the urge to send us anonymous homophobic hate, ringing in your ears, and constipation. If you experience any of these side effects, ask your doctor if dying mad about it is right for you.
If you know us in real life, no, you don't.